Welcome to Radio Gorgeous, Sarah Stovall. Author, debut thriller, Exquisite. Introduce us to Exquisite.
Thank you. Exquisite is my first psychological thriller, and it's about two writers, one very successful and well-known, and the other one just aspiring. And they meet on a writing course that the well-known writer is teaching, and from there, a very intense relationship develops, or does it?
Yes, it is, as you say, it's a psychological thriller. We only know, we only have their side of the story, or their sides of the story to go by. Talk to me a little bit about how the story came about, why you structured it the way you did, the content of the story.
It was something that just interested me. I'm interested in the psychological games that people play with each other, and I'm interested in damaged people in being put in situations that essentially take them right to the extreme edges of their personalities, and they see themselves sometimes behave in ways that surprise themselves. So that was what I wanted to do. The structure, initially when I wrote it, I just did alternate chapters, and then I thought it would be better to change that a bit so that I had one side first and then the next side afterwards. And then there are some more complicated structural bits going on. Can't remember them.
Mothers don't come out very well.
No.
In this story.
No, they don't come out brilliantly.
Yeah. No, nobody's. None of them are covered in glory.
No.
Shall we say? Was that a conscious feeding of the story?
Yes, it was. Both my main characters, Alice and Beau, had difficult, troubled relationships with their own mothers. Because both of them, at the start of the novel, I think if you'd asked either of them, they would have defined themselves as heterosexual. So I needed something that was bringing them together. And I thought that lack of mothering would do that. That would attract two women to each other and take them by surprise. So I felt like that was actually quite a crucial part of the story, that lack of mothering.
I felt that as well, because what is mothering? Mothering is love.
Mm-hmm.
And these characters are desperate to be loved.
Yes.
As well as desperate to have objects of love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Objects being sort of important part of that.
Yes.
And how much is that, I mean, as you are a mother yourself,
uh-huh.
You're also a teacher of writing.
Yes.
Is any of that, is there unconscious bleeding there? Is there conscious bleeding? Is there,
do I encourage unconscious bleeding among my students?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't. I probably do a bit, but I like students to write, because what they all do at sort of 18, 19, 20 is write about their own lives, and I'm trying to move them on to make stuff up. So I don't necessarily encourage unconscious bleeding. When I see it on the page, sometimes it can be very good, so I go with it, it's fine. I don't tell them not to, but I am always encouraging fiction rather than biography, autobiography.
And that first, the younger woman,
mm-hmm.
Alice, who writes, her writing is very, that we first see, is
uh-huh.
very indicative
yes.
of exactly what you just said.
Yeah.
And it's very strong, it's very emotional, it's very powerful, it's extremely personal.
Mm-hmm.
And it also struck me that they're both, you could see either of them falling into addiction or other things, that there was risk-taking in their behavior,
mm-hmm.
that there was and they were looking out for other risk takers.
Yes, I think that's true. I think well, people are generally attracted to people who are similar to themselves, aren't they? So yes, they were both risk takers, and certainly for Alice, I don't think she had. I don't know that she would have seen loving Beau as a big risk. I think she just did it because she was totally driven by it, and
It sort of overtook her.
Yeah, I think perhaps if she'd had her head screwed on a bit more, then she might have questioned it and said, "I'm taking this terrible risk." Whereas Beau, I think, is much more calculating.
Mm. Yes, she's a person who, these kind of people always kind of freak me out, who compartmentalize things.
Yes, yes.
To the point of their minds must work in a very different way from mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like a completely non-connective way.
Yes,
very disconnective. But I think that was also a survival technique for her.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. So tell me what was it was like, because you got to writing in different voices, writing about writing.
Yes.
Allowed you to really use what you teach.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me a bit about that process and getting published yourself and what that's meant.
Well, the writing side of it, the characters actually started out as artists, because I was thinking, oh God, you write a book about writers when you're a writer, that's a bit naff, isn't it? So I started them off as artists, but I just found it wasn't working, and I thought this will work much better, because then it can be kind of a novel within a novel, which I quite liked the way that turned out. So the process of getting published, I wrote this book because I'd written historical fiction before. And some people manage to write historical fiction and do very well, but that wasn't happening for me. And in the end, I just thought, I'm going to have to write what sells. And I'd actually been thinking about Exquisite for several years and thinking, shall I write that or shall I not? And one afternoon, I just thought, I'm just going to have to write that book that I've been thinking about for 5 years. And I did, and I wrote it very quickly. And then, Karen Sullivan at Arenda bought it, and we worked together on it, and it's taken off since then.
Fantastic. Now, another aspect of your life, which I would really like to get to, is I understand, I'll just preface this by saying I come from an extremely thrifty
family.
And yes, we went to the charity shop for our clothes, but only when they had a sale.
Right, really. Wow.
Okay, so that just sets you up right there. But I hear you are a mad recycler.
Well, I'm not sure about mad. I've certainly, I try my best. I did, last September, I did a month without plastic to raise money for a charity called Plastic Oceans, which is aiming to educate people about how much plastic we use and how much is in the sea, which is an awful lot, like continent-sized amounts of plastic in the sea. So I raised some money for those by living a month without plastic, and that changed my relationship with plastic. Although that does sound very odd, but we all have a relationship with plastic,
yes.
Whether we're aware of it or not. We all use more than we need to. And I found that what I did was I've cut out disposable coffee cups, and I don't drink bottled water anymore. I try and cut out unnecessary plastic use, and I do buy most of my clothes these days in charity shops.
What can we do? Because something that drives me particularly mad is all the prepackaged vegetables,
mm-hmm.
and all the prepackaged fruit. One, I can't pick my own. And two, like, there's just so much plastic. And it's not recyclable plastic.
No, it's not.
Why are they allowing them to use plastic that we can't recycle?
I don't know, is the answer. I think
who do we talk to?
There are people working on this. Plastic Oceans is one. I think the Ocean Cleanup is another one. There are people applying pressure to the packages, but change isn't happening fast enough. We can all attempt to boycott it and not buy fruit and vegetables wrapped in plastic, but it is almost impossible. I mean, I found when I was living without plastic, I would buy my fruit and veg from a greengrocer's, and often that was also in plastic. Sometimes it wasn't. But you don't know whether it got to them in plastic and then they took it off. It's very hard. You just don't know. I did get an allotment at one point in my extreme moments, but I wasn't very good at that.
I have allotment, but I'm not a great grower, but my husband loves it, so anyway, we carry on. we eat what the bugs have.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which we also take as a sign of organic approval. If the bugs are eating it, they're
absolutely
happy,
it must
happy.
Be good. Yeah.
I mean, I do understand that we do have an aesthetic desire for, nice looking vegetables.
Yes.
And if we're buying a fruit, we tend to want to buy the whole thing, mm-hmm. not just the non-dented part.
Yeah.
Or, I do understand it. But it does seem like things have spiraled out of control.
They have. I think it's over the last 15 or 20 years, plastic has gone crazy. The amount of just bottled drinks that you can buy in shops and packaged sandwiches and all of this stuff, all of that plastic goes somewhere. It can't be recycled. It can't biodegrade. Most of it ends up, well, lots of it ends up in landfill and lots of it ends up in the sea.
Mm. Yes, a big swirling mass.
Yes, masses. Yeah, loads and loads of it.
I'm always that crazy person at the beach who's like picking up garbage.
Yeah, me too.
My poor son, he was walking with some boy. This was, when they were in primary school, and the one kid throws, a plastic juice drink into mm-hmm. the Thames.
Yeah, oh my God.
And monkey see, monkey do.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
And I can't tell the other kid not to, to pick up garbage on the way home. But so I think most mothers are like, don't touch the dirty. I'm like, pick it up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pick up the garbage. Yeah. 10 pieces of garbage for that one.
My daughter's always picking up rubbish, yeah.
The mad people. All right, so what is next? Because if you've written Exquisite, that was in your head for 5 mm-hmm. years. What's next for you?
The book that hasn't been in my head for 5 years is on its way. It's something like a mother, a daughter, and her sister behaving badly and driving each other a bit mad. And I'm hoping it's going to be my great gaslighting novel, because I was waiting until I thought I'd be a mature writer before I wrote this. And my agent said, just write it. Okay, I will. And gaslighting is a technique of psychological bullying where the perpetrator does something horrendous to the victim and then tries to make the victim think they imagined it or that they made it up or that in some way they're going mad. So they play nasty tricks to make the victim believe they're going crazy. It's a bit like being beaten up psychologically. Mm. And it's very, I think it's very confusing, and it's something that I think you can really play with the reader with that. Mm. So that's what I'm planning next.
Right, so you like to put both your characters and your readers in extreme situations.
I suppose so.
Yeah, because the interesting stuff happens.
Yeah, well, exactly, yes. Yeah,
they see what they're made of.
Yes.
All right, well, and I will say, because we can't talk too much about Exquisite, because it does end... anyway, so I would highly recommend it if you like that feeling of being sort of chased yourself. Exquisite, Sarah Stubble, thank you so much for coming on Radio Gorgeous.
Thank you very much. Thanks.